In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. John is that strange man, camel's hair, eating grasshoppers and honey, unbending to the wavering opinions and pressures of men. While he's out there, he receives representatives from other bodies. In this case, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to hear his preaching with prophetic fervor and zeal. He warns them that the axe is already laid bare to the root of the tree, and that any unfruitful tree, that which does not bear good fruit, will be consigned to the fire. That is the sentence. He tells them that the chaff will be driven away by the wind, never to be seen again. What they think, what they want, what they wish, what it seems to them, does not matter. Because this is not some game to St. John, some intellectual distraction or debate or some hobby. This is life and death. It is not gray, it is black and it is white. This is what they need. This is what is necessary, what they have to hear, because it is the truth. Submit or be destroyed. That is John's message. Repent and live, or do not, and you will die. He will not lie to appease their feelings. He will not soften God's word to satisfy their very itchy ears, water down the reality of the coming judgment. He will not ignore the false doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that lead to despair and to death, or pretend like they don't matter. False doctrine, false teaching absolutely matters to God. Do you know why? Because it leads you away from him. Because of that, he will not have it. So John is not going to gloss over any of the differences, like they don't matter all that much, because he will not trivialize God's word and pretend that it does not matter. He preaches fire and brimstone, hell and damnation without apology. That is the Baptist preaching. The law of God preached that he might level that bony and accusing finger straight in his cousin's direction and say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of this world." He preaches this because this is what they really need. This is what's necessary. He is preparing the way of the Lord. And for preaching this perfect love, this word of his God, this extremely difficult word to proclaim to his brethren, this truth, guess what? John will die for it. John will die for it. The word of God will cost him. But he will gain a crown, and that is worth it every time. The biblical ethic is always to do the right thing and then to suffer the consequences for it. It is not, as this world so often supposes and teaches us, to do the lesser of two evils. Sons and daughters of God are not permitted to do evil, no matter how less they perceive it to be. Period. The one mightier than John, whose sandals John and we are not worthy to even carry, he doesn't just preach about fire. This one brings it. He baptizes with it. He himself being the whole burnt offering for our sin, for our transgression, is utterly consumed in righteous indignation, forsaken by the Father, roasted in the fiery wrath for his sins, sins he did not commit. And it's that agonizing, unnatural death, that submission to hell's worst, that is the life of the world. That is your life. That is my life. This then is what it means that the one stronger than John baptizes with fire. He baptizes into hell. He baptizes into damnation, into the watery deep. He baptizes his adulterous, unfaithful fiance into hell's fire, into judgment, because he baptizes them into his very death. When we see the baptism of a little child, it's one of the cutest things in the world, one of the most wonderful things in the world. And what do we think? We think, oh, look at that cute little baby. Look at that beautiful little dress. Look at those little shoes. And look at that, she didn't even cry. Look how wonderful. Look how pleasant. And that's okay that we think that. There's nothing wrong with us thinking that, because that's what we see. We can't see what's really going on, what God is truly doing to that person, to that child, in that font, in that water. Thankfully, God in his mercy and his wisdom doesn't allow us to see what's truly going on. There is a killing in baptism. We are absolutely slain, recreated, remade, reborn into creatures that are now able to actually bear God's name. People that are actually able to once again walk with God. Creatures in communion with him. He baptizes his fiancée to kill her in order that he might bring her back to life. To be his bride, he reaches out his hand and pulls her up, pulls her out of the deep, that he might become one with her, with you. We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death. And if you have been united with him in a death like his, you will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his, St. Paul says. Jesus Christ purifies, he justifies, he sanctifies his bride with death and resurrection. He declares her to be absolutely chaste, absolutely immaculate, virgin and pure, healed completely by his grace, by his vicarious substitution and satisfaction for what he's done for her. And thus John's watery sacrament, just like John himself, is a bridge between two testaments, two periods. It is the sacrament of repentance and death, of the law being executed. But it's also the sacrament of the forgiveness of sins, of birth and resurrection, of the gospel actively working in this world for us. God coming to us to save us. It stood alongside the temple sacrifices for a time. And now it stands alongside of the Holy Eucharist. Holy baptism circumcises our hearts, separates us from the pagans, and marks us as a people that belong to Jesus Christ forever. And at that same time, in Christ, what does it do? It makes every single one of us equal. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you are a king or a slave, a Jew or a Gentile, a man or a woman. In Jesus Christ, all stand justified before God. Exactly the same. Just as righteous as Jesus Christ himself. Because through this sacrament of death and of life, Jesus joins you to himself. And so holy baptism doesn't rightly belong to either the old covenant of circumcision or the new covenant of the Holy Communion. Because in heaven there will be neither circumcision nor Eucharist, no longer this foretaste of the feast that is coming. But we will eternally bear his name given to us in baptism. We will still be righteous. We will always be the baptized. We will always be the living bride of Jesus Christ. Along with those bloody circumcised believers who were baptized in the Red Sea, St. Paul says. So baptism is not of the old, it's not of the new. It is the common denominator. It is the covenant, the promise, the bestowal of God's grace. It is the making of a people who are no people. And it makes the wolf to lie down with the lamb. Or in my case recently, the bloody hound dogs to lie down with the lambs in peace. Baptism is the deliverance of the holy cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb that's given right here in time. It is made present for us again and again. It is the word of God applies because it kills and it makes alive. And so we say to John and to anyone else, bearing God's holy law, let that axe fly. Let it fly. Because in him who has suffered the flames of his Father's wrath and all of hell's fury, we are ready. And in him we are eager. In Jesus' name.